From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andy Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. And we're going to start a new series here.
Yeah.
It's a topic near and dear to Andrew's heart. You've written on this in the past in like MSDN magazine, right?
Yes, debugger extensions.
Debugger extensions.
Back in, I think it was March 2011, around there. Yeah. Start of 2011, I did a three-part series on how to write debugger extensions. Because it wasn't really documented very well.
Yeah.
So we've had this in the queue of things to do for ages, and
yeah.
We thought it might not be a bad one to run up to 100 with. So we're just going to go through that. Updating it a bit more Visual Studio. Back then it was suggested that you code it with the DDK, for example, and now
oh, okay.
we say it's okay to code it with the Visual Studio. I didn't go into a lot of the nitty-gritty stuff. Particularly, I didn't really explain how to do 64-bit compiling versus 32-bit, and I actually skipped over an entire legacy API that we'll go talk about and explain.
Uh-huh.
You can and can't use it, or why you should and shouldn't use it, stuff like that.
Cool.
Lots of little extra tidbits. So they'll be in the show notes, links to the magazines, and then they have links to all the code.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to jump ahead, go for it. But we're going to kind of like verbalize what's on the page of the magazine.
Sounds good.
So debugger extensions are just DLLs. They get loaded by the debugger. You export names, like, you know, if you want Bang Hello World, you export a function called Hello World.
Mm-hmm.
It's case sensitive. It's really simple as that. So it's a matter of starting a Visual Studio project and doing that. So launch Visual Studio. Because it's a DLL, we want projects. This is all going to be C focused. You can do this as managed code. Risky, it's just a huge amount of interrupt code to get back to the C code that really drives it.
Mm.
It's inherently a C interface, but you could wrap it, and people internally have done it. It takes thousands and thousands of lines, but you can do it if you really want to. I'm just dumping stuff on a local hard drive. What should we call it? My extension or something?
Sure.
Win32 project, not console app, we want project here, so we get the wizard that goes next. And then we want next, we're going to choose a DLL. We're actually going to choose an empty project because we don't need anything. And we'll leave SDL turned on. I chose empty because we're going to write every single function. There's nothing actually in the boilerplate that actually really helps us.
Okay.
So the first thing you need is a CPP file, and I tend to call the very first one dbg.ext because it's going to define the API we're using is called dbg.ext, and this defines our relationship between it and us.
Okay.
And so within here, we need to define three entry points. So I mean, the DLL loads, and that's great and all, but unless it knows how to interact with you, it doesn't really help much. The three are to do with initialization of the extension. So please tell me what your version number is.
Mm-hmm.
So if we, for example, bring up this, and then we'll debug Notepad. So we have a debug session. The dot chain command will give you the extensions, and then this is the type of information you're going to get. And so these numbers here are from the RC file, the resource file that gives you like the copyright and the string and that type of stuff. And this is actually from the API. And actually, I've got a bug here. I didn't roll the RC file up when I rolled the API version up. So that's the top, that's one of the things you have to do. And so what those entry points are, let me kill that. Now I've got these prepped here. Where are we? Are these three? These three functions. So you can look them up in MSDN. They notification says, initialize happens first. I'll change the order. Initialization happens first. It says
you've loaded,
and yeah. That's it. It doesn't really. It's not to do with anything more than that. The DLL is loading and the DLL is stopping, which is what initializes. So if you wanted to make critical sections or anything that's a global object, mm-hmm. you make it initialize and then you tear it down in uninitialize. Mm-hmm. And then notify is all about telling you about the state change. So like you have attached to a target. So PDE was loaded when I just opened up WinDBG because I did the minus A, mm-hmm. but it hadn't connected to Notepad yet. And so you'll get a call saying there is a now a session that exists and or now has stopped or all that type of thing. So if you press QD, quit detach, your session would end and you'll get a notification. So if you need to know about state changes, that's where it is. In general, you don't actually need to do much in these calls because every call that is given to you should be stateless. You shouldn't be relying on a subsequent call to achieve something, which usually means you don't need to keep state around. About the only time you could probably justify it is if you're running some type of cache, but you have to make sure that the target is static, not a dynamic target, because then your caching gets off. So what's this code look like? These are the three functions. Look them up in MSDN if you want to see the that way of looking at it. To speed up things, I've got it all written here. And this is what our code looks like to make everything happy. We have a header file, which we haven't made yet. So let's make that. Make a header file, and it's going to be called dbgxt.h. And the only thing I'm going to shove in that is some version number stuff. And so this is going to be called version 1. Should we call it some other version? 2.1?
Sure, 2.1.
We're going to be advanced straight away. So this is going to be called 2.1. Now, I just have it here so that if you want to reuse the version numbers in other parts of the code, like if you're doing help, right? If you want to make a help command that spits out stuff on the screen, mm-hmm. you can use the hash define, update it once here, and then it helps you everywhere. Well, I call it XTS, but call it XT if you want. And here's our three functions. The first one is initialization. You're given two commands. This debug extension version is a macro that's defined in the dbgeng help file. And here's our two that we defined in our header file. So that's mm-hmm. how we get our version number. This flag thing is reserved. You must set it to zero though. And then you've got to return SOK. So this is a very comm-centric API. Everything's hresult based, stuff like that. When it comes to notification, there's going to be four types. There's the textual description of what they each represent, so you can interact based on that. In this case, it falls through. It's a void, so it's kind of irrelevant what you do from a return point of view, mm-hmm. Hence why there's no return down here. Mm-hmm. And same thing goes with an uninitialize. So based on what we have now, we have a debug extension, nearly. So what we have to do is these three names have to be exported. And the way you do that is, I'm gonna put on a resource file. I am going to make a, where is it under? Where is a def file? Utility. Where are
right
you?
There.
There it is, module definition. And I'm just gonna call this the name of the project. The project's called myxt. And so this is the def file. You get the keyword library at the top. Once again, I'm just gonna cheat and just copy this from an example. And we don't even need the keyword library. We can just say we are exporting these words. And for now, we won't export hello world. And so if we compile this now.
Will it build?
It will build. Now, the how it got all of the these words, these predefines, these purples, was that in this header file, this header file, I include windows.h, which gives you things like character and all those words that we use.
All the standard.
And I include, dbgeng.h, and that's the API that this whole thing is based on. There is another API, and we'll go to that in a sec, but this is how everything's resolving. Once you got to this point, you have the def, so everything's exported. Mm-hmm. You've compiled off the hard drive, and you've used DBG Engine.h. Now, where does that come from? So if you would do a search through Visual Studio, you actually won't find that header file. So prior to Windows, the integration of the debugger into the Windows kits, the SDK, the debugger folder itself, used to have this SDK folder and then under here, inc and lib and stuff like that.
I see.
And it doesn't have those anymore. And so you actually have to look in kits, program files. You have to look at the SDK file. So prior to this, we used to ship the debugger as an SDK itself, and now it's in the big SDK.
In the main Windows SDK.
Yeah, and because of that, it's now under here. So it's under the debugger part of it. And so the samples are in the other part, and here's got all the code part of it. Here's the inc file. And actually, if we trace down this header file, it's actually pulled it from this folder, right?
Okay.
It's actually got it from the path, which is one of the first things that we can kind of play with. So let's grab that inc file. Because if you don't have that installed locally, you kind of get into a situation where you can't compile the code.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've installed it on E drive and not C drive.
Oh, okay.
Right, and so you'll get these path mismatches in your project file. And so what you do, what you can do is you can copy it under the project. And while we're here, I'm also going to copy the libs. Oops, not there. Up one. And so under our project, we have a copy of the include files and a copy of the lib files. So now as an atomic unit, this is what you want to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So because we don't want to use those paths, what we need to do is play with the project file. And so I'm choosing the project, which is my XD. Alt F7, if you have the C++ keystrokes, goes to the properties page. And then what we're going to do is under the Visual C compile, we're going to say additional include folders, and we're going to specify the inc file. It will happen first, and so it will exclude, it will pull from there before it will pull from the other one.
It looks there first before following back to the path.
And then the other thing we need to do is, as simple as that really. So if we compile this, it's now going to pull from that local one. Everything's compiled, everything's good. So if you want to test it, we go to the debugger tab, and I'm going to choose all configurations, so this is held globally. And then we're going to pull that target path off, and then I know my debuggers is here. Now, we've compiled for 32 bits, so this is going to be the x86 debugger. And then the command, the minus A is load debugger extension. And so what I'm going to do is we could just do target path. The other way of doing this is you go to the editor and you'd say, show me the macros. And target path is the full resolution of where this goes to. And currently it's where the DLL is. So that resolves to that. So I could click on one of these and then go insert if I wanted and you'd get it. Be careful to note when you're inside this debugger editor whether sometimes it does or doesn't have quotes on it. Particularly debugger path, a target path does not.
Mm-hmm.
I would just by habit put some quotes around it because if I happen to not be compiling in C projects and go to, I don't know, my documents or something,
mm-hmm.
it's going to have a space in it,
yeah.
and then that's going to break.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, so go in here and put some quotes around anything that's going to be a path-centric parameter. And we actually, if we want, we can go a bit further and just say, let's launch the Windows SysWow. Is it 32? I always get it wrong.
64.
Notepad. All right, so we'll launch that. And so now if we press run, it's going to download the symbols for WinDBG as well. That's what you saw in the background. It's going to load. In this case, it's going to launch Notepad as our example program. And if we do a .chain, you'll see that we got loaded. And we reported that our API was 2.1.
Oh, right.
Now, we don't have an image. It doesn't say image on the front. See how this one's got image?
Mm-hmm.
That's because we don't have an RC file.
Oh.
Right? And you can optionally right-click and go add RC file and type that information
in. Put that in there.
Yeah. But we can do that if we want. We can go add new item. What's it under? resource, RC file, we'll call it my extension RC. And I hopefully this was going to have add a resource, and I want a version. And what was our version? 2.1.
2.1.
2.1. Products 2.1. So you could have multiple files and something. And then company name is Defrag Tools.
Missing a G.
Oh, I am. Defra.
Defra.
And the file description is awesome debugger extension. All right, and the copyright, and so be it. Save that. Yes, compile and run. And now when we do a dot chain, we now have, oh, did I press save on that? Oh,
Product version.
I don't think I tabbed off it. I think I lost it. Yeah, I don't think I tabbed off it. So now we have everything matching up. So far we've got to the point where we've got 32-bit compiling.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we get 64-bit?
Right.
And so what you do is you drop down this architecture thing and you go Configuration Manager. And this has been true all the way back to Visual Studio, more old.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even Studio 6, I think, even was down like this. And what we do is we go New. And in this case, we want to make an x86 compile. So if you had an older debugger, an older Visual Studio, because all this code will work all the way back down to more ancient 2000 or 2001 and maybe even Visual Studio 6,
mm-hmm.
You can choose those platforms. So you can choose Itanium, for example.
Oh, right? Wow.
Now, you can't choose, there's no point choosing ARM, because once you compile it, it's going to be the ARM target only lets you compile Windows Store apps. It won't let you compile for ARM in C or any desktop API.
And there's no debugger that released for ARM anyway, I don't think, no. Is there?
No. Right. And then even if you could compile for it, it wouldn't be signed.
Couldn't run it.
And it couldn't run it. So it's kind of relevant.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to copy from the Win32 copy. So all those other things I made, like the ink file, is going to come from there. And then we're going to make it for x64. And then now if we go into batch build, which I think is the easiest way to see what you've got, build, batch build, you can see there's debug and release for Win32 and 64. So let's do that and go build. And it's going to build all four. And we have all four built. And if we go back to the project, you'll see that you'll end up with a release and debug folder. That's the 32-bit ones. And then it makes an x64 folder, right? If you really want to be nice and clean, what you can do on the project is we'll look at the 64-bit one, and you'll see that we are compiling to, where is it? Apple directory, this one, solution platform configuration. If we change across to Win32, you see the word platform's missing on the front.
Hmm.
So what we can do is just put that there, and we also need configuration, I think that's right. And then that was debug and release. Yes, I want to save that. Actually, I could have just chosen both. Okay, and now if I go into my project, do a bit of house cleaning quickly, and then do a rebuild, Alt-BT, batch build, enter, Alt-BT.
You do this a lot.
Yeah, just have
bread and butter.
You'll now see that Win32 and 64-bit are there.
Right.
And because we use those special words in the debugging, we should, if we choose the 32-bit one, it will work even though we changed the configuration name because it's used those keywords.
Mm.
And then what we're going to do is we've got to fix the 64-bit one. So that's...
Right. Just point it to the different path.
Yeah. So let's choose 64-bit platform. Choose them all. And then under debugging, instead of x86, we just need to get rid of that guy. And this one needs to be the 64-bit version of Notepad. Now you can do cross-architecture debugging of dump files, but when you're debugging live,
right,
the bitness has to match.
Right, and of course you have to, your debugger extension has to run with the appropriate bitness of the debugger itself. You can't load your 64-bit extension in a 32-bit debugger, vice versa.
And then the compiler, the slash inc, wherever it went, is the same. It didn't need to be updated. Now, if you happen to have linker stuff where you need to specify lib files, then you would do custom 64-bit and 32-bit libs, because under the lib folder, or is it under the lib folder of our project, you have different paths, right? And you'll notice that it uses the word x86 in a lot of these things. Oh, sorry, x86, where it uses Win32 for that. So you can't use that platform keyword, unfortunately. Mm. You have to kind of hard code it. But now, because we've updated everything, we've got the paths right, everything else, make sure everything's built, it is, and now we'll choose the 64-bit one to run. We're going to run, it's going to be slow again because we've got to load the symbols for the 64-bit one, which we haven't done yet. You can see it's the 64-bit one up the top here. It tells you which debugger you're in. And if we do a dot chain, we are now seeing it's compiling out of the 64-bit folder, and we have 2.1 registered both places. So that gives you the infrastructure.
Right.
And we're going to end it there. So what we're going to do is next week we're going to start writing actually an extension, because at the moment
we have a debugger extension that
does nothing. So what I'm going to do is if I go .ext match that DLL and show me everything exported. I need slash E is for this module, show me every export, or there is none. So the three that are the initialize, the uninitialize, and the notify are filtered out,
right,
and everything else is shown to you that's exported. We currently have nothing exported. But if you want to jump ahead, just go look at the MSDN mag, and we'll go from there.
Right on, and next week we'll actually make it do something.
Yeah, we'll write hello world.
Which may be not the most useful thing, but at least it's something. Right on. Well, that's our show for this week. As always, if you have questions, put them in the show notes or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you back here next week, same time, same channel. Bye.
Have a good week.